When I was younger, Jay, I used to think that these alchemists that I used to read about were just trying to invent gold and find gold. It's much bigger than that, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. It's really about the human destiny and what we are and why we are such special creatures. And it's really the story of our race.
Let's go and finish up the rest of this half hour with the rest of the phone calls. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
Yes, I had a question.
You may.
Does there ever a mention of the Book of Enoch?
Oh, well, the Book of Enoch, of course, isn't in the Bible, but I've read it, and it probably should have been included. It's a very interesting book, and I highly... think that most Christians should probably read it. It's very interesting.
These cathedrals that were built that really began the stepping stone for your journey, is there anything hidden in there? I mean, do they have anything in the walls or in the basements of these places?
No, the secret is openly, revealed. It's in the engravings, and it's in the stonework, and it's in the arches, and when you understand the esoteric secrets, all of a sudden the symbols become obvious. And they're about alchemy and how to perform certain experiments at certain times to create hyperdimensional effects. And through that, they can understand the spiritual world, which is what they called the higher dimensions. And that's basically what alchemy is. And cathedrals themselves were, again, these experiments.
Sounds a little like the Da Vinci Code, Jay.
Yeah, Da Vinci knew about all this and talked about it quite openly in his journals. And also Newton wrote more on alchemy than he wrote on anything else. So alchemy is not, a kid's game. It's played by the biggest intellectual giants of the last 500 years.
Let's go to our wild card line. You're up with us on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hey there.
Yes, sir.
George, you are a light in a sea of darkness. I really appreciate what you do.
Well, that's right. Thank you.
Jay, when I did a keyword search on Netflix in November in Alchemy, your DVD came up and it's changed my life.
Really?
Yeah. Just a lot of dots connected all of a sudden.
Yeah, I've heard that a lot about that documentary.
Mm. Well, I just wanted to run some things past you. In terms of the Sumerians and their writings, have you come across any of that in your research?
Yeah. As much as that has been translated by decent translators, I've read it, yeah. That's rare. There's thousands of cuneiforms, and very few of them have really been translated.
Do you echo some of the things, for example, Zechariah Sitchin and his work?
Well, I have problems with it. I'm not going to, I'm not going to take on anything like that. I think that, it's not a planet coming in. I think it's a transformation that happens. And although I think some of the things that he found and interprets in the Sumerian texts are right.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a little bit of both. I have some problems with it, and some things I think are exactly right on.
Mm. Jay, what do you think of the 13 moon calendar?
Well, I think that it's a more exact calendar, and it's probably the calendar that will happen in 2012. I think we'll change our calendar to a 13-month calendar.
That would be very fascinating.
Yeah.
What would we call the 13th month?
I don't know.
That'd be interesting. Name it. It'll be a contest. Yeah, exactly. Hey, thank you.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Appreciate it. Let's move to our East of the Rockies line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hey, George. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, this is Larry. I'm over here calling in from Knoxville, and I've been listening tonight.
Hi, Larry.
So
good to have you.
What holds all this together? The Mayans, Egyptians, Aztecs, Moses, the Ark of the Covenant, Ed down there at Coral Castle and everything. Is the same thing that NASA's Breakthrough Propulsion Program was wanting to know about. They wanted to know how they were able to form wormholes at room temperature. And Mark Millis of NASA's Breakthrough Propulsion Program asked me if I'd be willing to share my information on how they did this. So I put a website up on the Internet that tells you everything you ever wanted to know about how they were able to form wormholes. In fact, it has some blueprints. You can go out in your backyard and make one yourself. For less than $50.
A wormhole?
Yeah. it's a divine. Say the Ark of the Covenant had a throne of a mercy seat on it, which is the same thing as a parabolic reflector. If you look on the back of a $1 bill, it's that eyeball.
Yeah.
Okay, that's symbolic of the equipment that you got to put into a box. You go down to, it's a box camera. You go down to Carl Castle, its box camera is still down there, and he has a half-inch water washer, which is symbolic of the orifice in an eyeball, and he had a parabolic reflector down at the bottom of it. And it's a photographic technique. It's a holographic technique. You got to have film. And the Coral Castle is the only place on the face of the planet that still has film down there.
I'll tell you what. Do me a favor and email me some of that information and your website. I'd like to look at it. How about that, Jay? You can create your own wormhole for $50.
You can actually do it for free if you know alchemy. So, yeah, $50 might buy it for you, but I'd rather do it for free and not use any technology.
I'd like to take a look at that. Yeah, so definitely send that to us, Larry. Let's move on to our first-time caller line. Welcome to Coast. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hello.
Hi.
This is Aline.
Aline, where might you be?
Columbus.
Columbus, Ohio. Okay, go ahead.
This is the first time I picked up the phone to call in, and I got through. So.
Well, good for you. And what finally prompted you to call?
Well, I've listened to your show for quite some time, and tonight I was intrigued by the fact, early in your conversation, you were saying that there were individuals that would show up in history and then kind of disappear, and they were the individuals that were needed at the time. So I've always wondered about Joseph of Arimathea, who, upon Jesus being removed from the cross, was able to talk with the powers that be and allow mankind to have his body to be put in Joseph's tomb. And then he disappears from history. All we know little
oh,
about
Oh, no, he doesn't.
We know little about him other than he was
no,
a man of wealth and a man of great learning.
Okay, what do you mean he didn't disappear?
No, he didn't disappear. Robert de Boron, who was a French poet in the 14th, 13th century, he wrote all about it. Joseph of Arimathea arrived in the south of France with Mary Magdalene and some other people, and they had escaped Jerusalem, and they really set up the whole entire milieu that exists in France. That was all set up by the followers of Jesus. And after Joseph of Arimathea had gone all the way through France and created churches, then he went up to England and did the same thing. This was all common folk knowledge up until about 400 years ago.
Okay, thanks for that response. Thanks for the phone call. Let's go to our West of the Rockies line. Welcome to Coast. You are on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi. December the 24th, 2012,
mm-hmm.
is when they come.
Who's they?
The locusts, or in Daniel 2:43, the Empire of Steel. The Steel Empire, the fourth empire, the last empire this world will have. And as the angel said to Daniel, they will mix their seed with the seed of mankind. As it says in Revelation 9, the locusts will descend to the earth, battle mankind for 5 months, and then take over.
It's funny you say that, because they're coming out with a movie called Locust very shortly.
In Revelations, it consistently refers to them as locusts, and it says that they have armor like a war horse.
Mm-hmm.
And it says that they cannot be cut by the sword.
Just all we need, and I guess there's going to be billions of those things around.
Yeah, those are the archons, actually. They're called in Gnostic terminology. And they are a demonic horde that, you know, exists somewhere in our solar system. According to legend, I don't know if any of this is true, but I have come across texts that do talk about these locust-like archons, who are the dark archons. And, you know, I don't know. What can I say? Hopefully we won't awaken them.
Let's go to our wild card line. It's your turn on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi. Hi, my name is Kelly. Good morning, George and Jay.
How are you?
Fine. I just had a question since I won't even pretend to be knowledgeable about this topic. My knowledge is surface at best. Since you're doing research about cathedrals, I'd say one of the symbolisms I've liked the most was the green man or the leafy face that you see in some of the cathedrals in England. And I think, isn't it a pre-Christian symbol, like it's Celtic? Do you have any comment on the origins of this symbol and what it means in alchemy and so far?
Yeah, the green man the original green man, of course, is Osiris. And one of the reasons that Christianity took hold of Europe so quickly was not because it was forced down their throats, but because Europe was worshiping an Egyptian kind of religion. For instance, where Notre Dame stands right now was a temple to Isis, and then it got changed to a temple for Mary. And interesting, all the symbology for Mary, her standing on a crescent moon and putting her foot on a snake, is the same exact symbology that's used by the Egyptians for Isis. And so the green man is really Osiris changed into a Celtic shaman, and then moved into the church, which was built right where the Celts had their sacred groves. So all the cathedrals are built on already sacred ground that had been sacred for thousands and thousands of years before anyone put a cathedral on them.
I did not know that. That is fascinating. I knew that a lot of in early Christian times, they would overlay Christian holidays with pagan holidays to have acceptance. Like, for instance, I think Christmas was put on the Feast of Saturnalia, so that everyone would celebrate it.
I would actually go one better and say that the original religions had all of the right holidays, and the Christians just adapted them. So I have a completely reverse view on it than most people. I believe that Christianity is actually Egypto-Christian more than it's Judeo-Christian. And I think once you understand that, it becomes glaringly obvious why Christianity was such a successful religion, because it was really the religion of the ancients. It was and if you look back through the texts at Edfu and things like that, you find the same stories of resurrection and death and saviors and messiahs, and it's all quite interesting.
Do they ever talk about in their symbolism in the cathedrals of beings that came down to this planet, Jay?
Well, yeah, they do, and you can find them. Again, you can actually see some of those archons, but, angels, too, come here, and there's different forces that are trans-dimensional that come here, and we are actually part of it. Where humans really aren't three-dimensional creatures. We're really three-and-a-half-dimensional creatures. We're stuck between the fourth and the third dimension. We can see the shadow of the fourth dimension through time, and second following second, minute following minute, but we're aware of this dimension when we dream or we meditate or we do great works of art or hear great music, but most of the time we're living in a third dimension. So alchemists are trying to draw human beings up into the upper dimensions, up out of animalhood into sacred humanhood.
All right, next up, let's go to our first-time caller line. You're on Coast to Coast with us. Hi there.
Hi. I wanted to ask your guest if he feels that there is going to be an effect, with the passing of the Pope and the millions upon hundreds of millions of people that are suffering the loss of their Pope. They're holding in the thoughts of sadness and misery instead of rejoicing of his transition. Does he feel that this will have a negative impact on society as a whole?
Well, that's an interesting question. I think that, the mourning is well-founded, and I think that, they should be allowed to mourn. It's all right.
Okay, time for maybe one more call. Let's go to our wild card line. You're on Coast to Coast with us. Hi there.
Hi, my name's Mike. I'm from Denton, Texas.
Hi, Mike.
And hi, and I'm actually a Mormon, and so much of what you say, and so much of had an experience. I picked up a hitchhiker, very kind of mysterious person. I was going to call in the other night when you were talking about hitchhikers about four. And I was kind of coming back to God, and he, for about 2.5 hours, I took him home, fed him some food, and he said all these strange things to me, and it kind of got me really, piqued my interest about this stuff, and I've actually just met a friend a few months ago that told me to start listening to this show, and there's so much that you've said tonight, I mean, I can't even touch on it all. I mean, Mormons believe that there are at least 4 people that have been around, you know, since the time of Jesus, you know, the sacred groves, you know, Mormon temples, I mean, talking about spires and, you know, the transdimensional and stuff like that, they all kind of contain that. I had, you know, of the whole pre-Columbian, Egyptian, all those connections, you know, are within the religion embedded. The Book of Mormon is about ancient Americans, you know, Egypt, the Pearl of Great Price, you know, speaks quite a bit of Abraham, you know, going into Egypt, and there's illustrations from a papyri, which they actually rediscovered in the 60s, I believe. But I'm just kind of wondering, kind of, have you looked into that? I listened to these mystical kinds of things. I actually have the Book of Enoch.
All right, one minute to go. Do you want to comment on any of this, Jay?
I find mystical aspects of Mormonism to be extremely, extremely fascinating. And I wonder who exactly Joseph Smith was or what exactly it was that he found.
Well, that's so true. Well, take your travels, Jay, and keep in touch with us, would you?
All right.
Your websites, of course, jaywidener.com, sacredmysteries.com, already linked up.
All right.
At coasttocoastam.com. Appreciate it, Jay.
Thank you very much.
Take care of yourself. And, of course, Coast to Coast will be back with you tomorrow and the next day and the next day and forever until the end of time. For Steve Carr, Dan Galanti, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, I'm so dramatic, Sean LaDesur and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie. Somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM, I'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.